Thank you for the introduction. So I was given the title to talk about pulmonary arterial pressure, EPD, and their utility for cow-calf producers. One of the things, I'm going to kind of go off script a little bit from that title, just because I think pulmonary arterial pressure is a very unique trait, okay? When we think about the use of EPDs and the use of a phenotype, and we really kind of have two methods for selection. And so what I want to talk about today is, a lot of times people tend to doubt the use of an EPD when a phenotype is available. And that's particularly the case for pulmonary arterial pressure when historically all we've had was the phenotype to use in order to rank animals for high altitude adaptability. Okay? So pulmonary arterial pressure is one of those measures where we screen animals for their ability to withstand the reduced oxygen levels at elevation, okay? And if they are unable to adapt to elevation, what tends to happen is they will end up developing brisket disease, and unless the situation is remedied, they will end up passing, okay? So what I want to talk about, I pulled up some examples here today. You know, we do a lot of work in the past couple years with Leachman Cattle Colorado, because Lee Leachman has really sort of latched on to this pulmonary arterial pressure as a measure for this ability to withstand survival at elevation. And he's really done a lot of work in not only scrutinizing the development of the EPD that we've done for him, but also verifying that these EPDs represent an animal's true genetic potential for this trait. Okay? So, and the reason I asked him to use his data is because he does, one of the things that I really like about it is he publishes both the pulmonary arterial pressure phenotype or their actual observation as well as the EPD, okay? So I've got four different animals up here. And this first individual has a PAT measure of 36 and an EPD of minus 1.3. Okay, so for pulmonary arterial pressure, the lower pressure is better. It's, think of it as like a blood pressure that you would go to the doctor and get measured for your blood pressure. Okay, so lower is better. So a more negative EPD is a better EPD than what you would see for a positive EPD. Okay, so this animal is at 36 PAP score and an EPD of minus 1.34. If you look at this next individual, he has got a PAP score of 46, okay? So we would call that, you know, that's a ranging on, that's kind of sitting on the edge of being moderately adaptable to elevation. That's a, not a high score, but depending on the elevation of use, you might have some problems with this bull. And he's also got an EPD of plus 0.53. So, again, the pressure has gone up and the EPD has gone up in an unfavorable direction. Okay? So let's look at these two. So these bottom two, we've got a PAP, an even higher PAP of a 54. But we also have negative EPDs. So this 54 and a 76, that 76 individual is really a what we would call unsuitable for use at elevation. Even the 54 we would call it unsuitable for use at elevation. But they have some of the better EPDs in the evaluation, negative. So why is this, right? This kind of discrepancy is what sort of leads to what I would call distrust in the average, in the producer, on whether or not these types of information, particularly the EPDs, are representative of the animal's true genetic potential, okay? So the rest of the time today, I want to talk about how we can use the phenotype versus the EPD, because for pulmonary arterial pressure, it's important to consider both, right? So by the end of this, I hope that you understand why I feel this way, okay? So if we think about ranking individuals, there's really kind of two options that we have for sorting them on the base on our trait of interest. Okay, historically we've used phenotype, particularly for PAP, because PAP testing really was started in the early 1990s, was when it was really gaining traction and use through a wide region of the Western United States. Okay, so producers are used to seeing the phenotype; they understand what the phenotype means. But then all of a sudden, we started developing EPDs for those, okay? And so as you saw on the previous slide, those numbers don't necessarily line up with one another. So it's kind of raised some question on what piece of information should we use and what should we not use. And relatively recently, we've done some work for the American Angus Association to where they are now releasing a breed-wide pulmonary arterial pressure EPD, okay? So what should we use for the selection decisions? And then to understand that, I want to get into a little bit of a discussion on why do animals perform the way they do, okay? So what makes up a phenotype of an individual? So this is one of the equations that we teach our undergraduate animal breeding course, and what it does is it delineates between the genetic component of a trait and the environmental component of a trait. Okay? So if we look at this simple equation, it's called the genetic model, and it says that phenotype, which is the observation of an individual, it's the measure, or in this case it's the PAP score, is equal to an individual's breeding value. So that breeding value is the genetics that an individual carries for a particular trait. Okay? This genetic component is the one that's passed on from generation to generation, or from parents to progeny, plus some environmental effects. Now these environmental effects, so these are the effects of things like elevation, disease status. I'm going to use terms like contemporary group. These are all sort of non-genetic influences that can cause a pulmonary arterial pressure to be higher or lower independent of the genetics of the individual. Okay? So when we think about a genetic evaluation, and me as an animal breeder, I want to know, well, how much does genetics influence a trait? Okay? So we do that with an equation or a metric called heritability. Okay? Heritability is denoted there as the H squared, and it's the ratio of the variance in genetics to the variance in phenotype. And I'm trying not to lose everybody with the terms variance here, because that is challenging when I'm teaching my undergraduate students. Okay? But if we think about a group of individuals, and we know there's variability in performance, right? So not everyone has the same measure for any trait of interest. And we know the individuals are not genetically identical, right? Unless we're cloning a bunch of a large group of animals, there's differences in genetics. So if we think about it, it makes sense to assume that there should be some genetic control, or genetics will describe some of the variability in phenotype. And that's what this heritability term represents. Okay? So the heritability for pulmonary arterial pressure ranges anywhere from 0.34 to 0.46. Okay? And this is a number of different populations over the last 10 years, different ranches, herds, locations on where we've with data that we've estimated these types of metrics. Okay? What these numbers mean is that if we look at a group of cattle, we can say that 34 to 46% of the differences we see between animals are going to be due to differences in the genetics between those animals, okay? So on the flip side of that, the other part of that genetic model was environment, so that means that 54 to 66% of those differences are going to be due to environmental effects, okay? So One of the things that I also want to mention, so those heritabilities are moderately heritable, so meaning these are the same heritabilities that we would see for traits that we're used to looking at, like weaning weight, yearling weight, a lot of our carcass characteristics. Those all fall in that range of a moderately heritable trait. So to understand why we had those differences in those EPDs and the phenotype that I had on the second slide, I want to talk about some of these non-genetic or environmental factors. So I've compiled a list of data or a list of non-genetic factors on pulmonary arterial pressure, and this is a culmination of a lot of work from a lot of different grad students, and this work was being done long before I was ever a faculty member at CSU, but these are things like age, right? So the older an animal is, they're going to have a higher pulmonary arterial pressure just because they're older, okay? I'm going to talk specifically about contemporary group later on, and I'm going to talk specifically about elevation later on. But things like body condition score, the more cover an animal is carrying, they're going to have a higher pulmonary arterial pressure. I mean, I go to the doctor, and he says, your blood pressure is high, and I said, well, what can I do? And he says, to lose weight, right? So, you know, body condition makes sense. Things like hybrid vigor, even though that's not an environmental effect, that is something that's not transmitted from generation to generation. Things like parasite load, the ration they are on, respiratory disease, any sort of lung damage is going to cause an increase in that pulmonary arterial pressure. There are sex differences, so bulls tend to have higher pressures than both heifers and steers. The technician performing the test is going to be variable or add variability to that phenotype, and the weather. So tending to those animals that are papped on really cold days tend to have higher pressure than animals that are papped on warmer days. Okay? So jumping into contemporary group. So a contemporary group is really nothing more than a group of animals that experience the similar environment for a particular trait, okay? And the reason that's important is because in genetic evaluation, what we do is we evaluate these individuals with respect to their contemporaries. So each contemporary group is going to have an average, right? So you've got a group of cattle that have all experienced a similar environment. They've all been pap tested. There's going to be an average. In that group, you're going to have some that are going to have a higher than average PAP phenotype, and you're going to have some that are going to have a lower than average PAP phenotype. Those lower than average individuals are going to say, well, within a similar environment, the difference why they are below average is going to be due to their genetics. Likewise, the individuals that are above average, above that contemporary group average, are going to have a higher PAP phenotype due to their genetic potential, okay? So we tend to group these together, and these are all, and I've defined these as a number of the factors that we consider, things such as yearling management and yearling dates, so we want to know how they were managed prior to the PAP test ever being performed, things like PAP date, and so that'll account for things like technician differences and weather differences, things like elevation in ranch and disease status, et cetera, okay? These all go into the contemporary group that individual performs in. Elevation is another non-genetic environmental, well, it is another influence on PAP. I don't want to say it's non-genetic because I'm going to argue that it has an influence on genetics, okay? So we know that as elevation increases, the atmospheric or the available atmospheric oxygen decreases, okay? So meaning as you increase in elevation, there is less oxygen for you to breathe, okay? So your cardiopulmonary system has to work harder in order to meet the body's oxygen demands, okay? So if as that cardiopulmonary system begins to work harder, the pulmonary arterial pressure increases. Okay, so elevation has an influence on the PAP measure. But I'm also going to argue that it's a genetic effect as well. Okay, and the reason for that is in challenging environments, individuals have a greater ability or a greater chance of expressing their true genetic potential. Okay, so what happens is in higher environments, we see that heritability increase than at lower environments. So over the last 2 or 3 years, we've spent a lot of work trying to understand how we can relate pulmonary arterial pressure to elevation. So this work that I presented here is from one of our grad students who just finished up this last year, Rachel Pauling, and this work laid the groundwork for the EPD that the American Angus Association is currently calculating. Okay, so what she found is what she was looking for is how can we use data collected from a wide range of locations. So if you think about a breed-wide basis, we can have data from all over the United States, theoretically. Whereas if you have a particular ranch, you've got one elevation to worry about. But when you have data from all over the United States, we need to understand if PAP scores at a moderate elevation are indicative of PAP scores at a higher elevation. So what she did here in this work is she found that point at 5,250 feet of elevation was the delineation between high elevation and moderate elevation. If the PAP score was measured above 5,250 feet, it was considered a high elevation phenotype, and if it was below 5,250 feet, it was considered a low elevation phenotype. So she grouped those observations according to those elevations, and what she found was that in the high elevation PAP, which is over on the top left corner as you're looking at this screen, the high elevation PAP heritability was 0.34, and then the moderate elevation PAP heritability, which is on the lower right corner of this table, was 0.29. So heritability was higher in the high elevation PAP, and that is due to them being able to express more genetic differences than what you would see in more conducive elevations to survival. On that off diagonal, on the upper right-hand portion of that table, is the genetic correlation between the two. Okay, so a genetic correlation is just the relationship in genetics between what we call two traits here. So we're considering two traits of high elevation versus moderate elevation. This correlation of 0.83 tells me that 83% of the genes that influence moderate elevation PAP are also influencing high elevation PAP. And this was good news, right? Especially for this work with the American Angus Association data, and that told us that we can use data from these lower or this moderate elevation, and it's indicative of pulmonary arterial pressure. So they did that, and they implemented this model. Okay? They implemented this model in a multiple trait model, so they're using moderate elevation PAP, they're using high elevation PAP as genetically correlated traits, similar to what we would see in a carcass and ultrasound evaluation. Okay, so we have ultrasound that's not the actual carcass trait, but it's an indicator of what that carcass merit on an individual would be. So more recently, and me being who I am, and my grad students who are sitting in the back understand this, I'm not exactly always satisfied with how the results have played out. Okay, so I've taken Rachel's data, and I've applied some different statistical methodologies to this. So there's a new technique that allows you to predict genetics across an environmental gradient. Okay. And what that allows me to do is it allows me to calculate a heritability for every elevation within that data range, and I can calculate a genetic correlation for every elevation within that data range. So on this chart, this is a heat map of the genetic correlation. So all the different colors represent a different range in genetic correlations. Along the x-axis on the bottom, as you go from left to right, that is in elevation as it is increasing. So on the left is low elevation, on the right is high elevation. And as you go from the bottom to the top, that is low elevation to high elevation. Okay, so what I'm seeing here, this methodology allowed me to paint a more fine picture of the true genetic relationship between PAP scores at different elevations. So in this table, this big blue chunk right in the middle, those are all of the elevations that are kind of close to one another, right? So you can have up on the very top right of that chart, you can have high elevation to high elevation, and on the very bottom left of that chart, you can have compare low elevation to low elevation and in between. So those are the highest correlations between those PAP phenotypes, and that was 0.8 to 1, so meaning it's 80% to it's the exact same trait. So if we look at all the way to the left or the right of this chart and you go down the line, you see that those colors start to change. So once you get into the yellow and once you get into that, looks like brown on that screen, and some orange and then some maybe purple in the very bottom corner there. Okay, those correlations erode as the PAP phenotypes are measured in different elevations. So as those elevations get farther apart from one another, that genetic correlation between those is eroded. So this paints a more refined picture of what the true genetic relationships between elevation and high elevation phenotypes are. And so what we're going to do with this is we're going to take this and we're going to put it into these genetic evaluation models to more appropriately describe the relationship between those phenotypes to get a more accurate prediction at the higher level. So, and kind of finishing up here, I want to talk a little bit about how this information is used, okay? So if we think about phenotypic PAP, it's dependent upon the elevation that's used. So one of the things we've been tasked with, and this is in conjunction with the other people in the group, you may know Mark Ansmelt Thomas or Tim Holt, and we are currently writing some guidelines for the BIF guidelines on PAP testing. Okay, and so this is one of the tables out of this chart, out of this document, and what we're doing is we're assigning risk categories for use of an individual at a particular elevation given where the PAP test was measured and what their PAP score actually was. Okay, so if we look at this chart, this is if the PAP test was conducted at moderate elevation, so from 4,000 to 5,500 feet in elevation, and the PAP score was 40 to 45 millimeters of mercury, which is the second line, and you go all the way across, and you want to move that animal to elevation in the fourth column. So from 5,500 to 7,500 feet in elevation. So if you want to move that animal to elevation, there's a moderate risk for them to develop high altitude disease. If their PAP score at the bottom is greater than 50, they have a moderate risk of developing high altitude disease at low elevation, so less than 4,000 feet in elevation. And if you go all the way across to greater than 7,500 feet in elevation, we're recommending that those individuals don't get moved to that location. Okay? So we can use the actual phenotype to describe how that animal will survive in their environment. Okay? So if we think about this in terms of how we can use this, we can take the phenotype, we know there's relationships amongst elevation, and we can have a better prediction or an EPD for pulmonary arterial pressure. Okay? So let's talk about how we use that EPD, because it's still important to think about what that EPD represents. So if we go back to these bulls again, we see here, and I want to look at the two individuals on the right-hand side of the screen. So at the top, that top one had a PAP measure of 46 and an EPD of plus 0.53, and the bottom one had a PAP score of 76, which would be deemed unacceptable at elevation, but he's got a good EPD, or a below zero EPD, okay? So if we think about how we can use bulls or how we introduce genetics into our population, okay, there's essentially kind of two different paths, right? So you can go in and you can talk to your ABS rep or your select sires rep and go buy semen and artificially inseminate some cows and produce progeny. Okay? In that case, the individual is never moved to the elevation of interest or elevation of use. And in the bottom, we can go to a bull sale and purchase a bull and move him to our place, or we can we raise an animal at elevation and use them as a herd sire, right? Those are residing at elevation. So we've got two different classes, those that don't reside at elevation and those that do reside at elevation. So if an animal is never going to reside at elevation, we should use the EPD to screen those animals for their genetic potential for susceptibility to high altitude disease. Okay, the EPD is a prediction of that animal's genetic merit for PAP, and it is the appropriate ranking of, and it will rank individuals according to their value as a parent. Okay, so if the individual is never going to go to elevation, then we want to look at their EPDs. If the individual is going to go to high elevation, so remember those environmental influences, right? Those environmental influences are important for their ability to survive, right? That's their pulmonary arterial pressure. If they have a high pressure at low elevation and you move them to high elevation, it's only going to exacerbate the problem. Okay, so those environmental effects we need to consider depending on whether or not they are going to reside at elevation, and to improve the chances of survival at elevation, we cannot ignore the individual's phenotype. However, if you are producing individuals, we need to consider, or we need to rank individuals on the basis of their EPD if the goal is for them to become parents, right? So we have one thing is survival, and the other one is what they're going to pass on to their progeny. The EPD is an estimate of PAP that they're going to pass on to their progeny. The phenotype gauges whether or not they're going to be able to survive. Okay, so this is the last slide I have. I wanted to just take home some recommendations, but at elevation, they need, an individual needs an acceptable EPD for breeding purposes, but it also needs an acceptable PAP observations for survival. Okay? In terms of the EPDs, what's good and what's bad? Okay? A positive EPD, probably not good for breeding cattle that are going to go to high elevation. Just going to flat out say that. If they're below zero, they're probably good, but if you truly have problems, you should probably look at some of the lower EPDs in there, and those will start to improve those problems that you might have in your population. And that ends it.